Welcome back to World Famous Phil Henry Show. I say welcome back because, as we like to say around here, we never really go home. It's, hi, how are you? We were here waiting for you. You turned your radio off last night at some point. You flipped it back on. We haven't gone anywhere. We've been sitting here ever so dutifully, ever so patiently, waiting for you to rejoin us. I just loaded some paper into the printer. We are online right now at philhenryshow.com on Phil TV. I have just gotten done talking to my close personal friend, Mr. Northcraft, about his life and his dreams and death and health care. And we've gotten set up on the line. As a matter of fact, Bud Dickman is with us. Do we have Mr. Bozell?
Yeah, get Stephen Bozell. He said you want to talk. Apparently.
Don't tell me a whole story. Do we have Mr. Bozell?
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil knows why.
Yeah, you're not the host.
Yeah, Margaret, let me handle it.
Well, he doesn't get to talk to me like...
Just hold on. Robert, how are you?
I'm very good, Miss Henry.
All right. We are going to be speaking here very shortly with Stephen Bozell. He is a father. He is a business owner. He's also a father and a husband out in Corona, California. And it will have to do with a story here about the viral rapper PSY. Perhaps you've heard his music. We'll play you just a taste of it. And when I say taste, I say that with advisedly. It may not be anything that you can keep down. I'm just kidding. You know this song, Gangnam Style, or it sounds to me...
Open Gangnam Style.
Yeah, it sounds like condom style. Okay, that Jack Ball?
Well, I think you should give him a little bit more respect, Phil. He is... You know, we live in an international time, and...
I don't think we want to hear Al Gore's speech right now.
Yeah, we don't want to hear the Al Gore speech right now.
What are you... Are you going to let them talk to me like that?
Margaret, I think at this point I agree with them. Let's not have the hands across America thing yet, okay?
It's not hand. It was hands around the...
USA, hands across for Africa, whatever the hell. Let's not do it right now, okay? Online at philhenryshow.com with a special this month. We are, as you know, with every backstage pass we sell this month through the end of December... as our way of saying, welcome to the wonderful, wacky, wild world of Wild Phil, we are giving you, for a one-month subscription, a free CD best-of download from our shop. For a six-month subscription, you get three free CD best-of downloads from the shop, and with a one-year subscription, of course, you get five free CD downloads. So join us at philhenryshow.com, and you'll be glad you did. What else? What else? What else? What else? The other thing I wanted to announce was, I think that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, got it covered and everything like that.
A lot of weird news. We're going to get into it for you tonight. Some of it good, some of it very strange. The first one, though, is this story. And wouldn't you know I left my glasses in the other pants.
Well, what is that? That's a... My God.
What is up with you, Margaret?
Phil, that is a direct reference to the song.
Yeah, she's thinking about...
What song?
When you say you left your glasses in the other pants.
I was just making a comment.
Bud.
Mr. Henry, you know the song. Hey, baby, won't you take a chance? I left my condom in the other pants.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, won't you take a chance? I left my condom in the other pants.
It's actually condoms.
Yeah, condom.
And you think that I said I left my glasses in my other pants on purpose...
As a callback, yes, that's a comedic device called a callback.
You guys are really starting to piss me off early here.
Well, I mean, you know the song.
No, I don't know the song. No, I don't know the song.
Yeah, never heard, hey, baby, wanna take a chance?
I know that song.
Well, what song are you talking about?
I know the song he's talking, hey, baby, wanna take a chance? Let's Dance, wasn't that the name of it?
Yeah, right.
That's the name of the song, Let's Dance. It ain't I left my condom in the other pants.
Well, my understanding is...
Yeah, your understanding is all jacked up. And you know something, Margaret? If I were you, I'd clean your mind up a little bit.
And what is that supposed to mean?
What it means is, because I said I left my glasses in the other pants, which, by the way, how could I leave a pair of glasses in a pair of pants? Is they're going to get cracked. They're going to get crushed.
That's why I thought you did that on purpose.
It might have been psychological.
It might have been psychological. Yeah, okay. Maybe I was thinking about the song Let's Dance. I left my... anyway, so this is the story. This guy, PSY, apparently the guy who does this jacked-up song, Condom Style, or whatever the hell it is, this cat said some stuff that was anti-American. And, you know, we don't stand for that.
Open Condom Style!
Yeah, we can't have that. And, of course, we do allow it. Of course, we would allow it. It's a democratic and free world. It's just some cat that sings like that and has a voice like that and has a look like, Kim Jong-il after he finally got his hair blown dry. That's what the guy looks like, and that's what bothers me. So, anyway.
What do you mean, blown dry?
Yeah, Kim Jong-il would need a blow dryer.
No, he had a blow dryer, man. It's at the hairdo.
Kim Jong-il, there was something wrong with his hair. I shouldn't speak ill of the dead. But it is his last name.
So anyway,
we're going to talk about that on the show tonight. We also wanted to reference a very quick industry story. Clear Channel has, I can't do better than the headline. Clear Channel has cleared out a whole bunch of jobs. Clear Channel is the largest employer in the radio broadcasting world. They have some 850 radio stations. After deregulation, Clear Channel, along with some other companies, decided to, basically buy the radio industry. And along with Cumulus and maybe one or two other companies, they own all of the real jobs, you know, in the radio broadcasting business. And how have they done owning all of the real jobs in the radio broadcasting business? Well, according to them, they're doing really well. However, if you're one of the people that they just fired over the last 48 hours, it's not much consolation. Nonetheless, the company run by CEO Bob Pittman, and Bob Pittman's name rings a bell to me, but I'm not exactly sure I remember where or how or when. I know that Bob Pittman's name was one of these names I heard as I came up in the business.
Did he ever work for you?
No one ever worked for me. I was never a boss until this company. Well, until I started, running a show with producers and stuff.
What about when you were a disc jockey?
I never had. You don't have a when you're a disc jockey, you don't have producers.
Yeah, you do, man. Like my guy.
What about Manmoo or
Mancow?
Yes,
Mancow has a talk show.
Yeah, but he plays the occasional. I heard him play occasional heart song.
Yeah.
Oh well, whatever, man. He's got a talk show. So, Clear Channel is run by Bob Pittman. It houses a big outdoor advertising division. The stations in New York were not affected, according to the story. This must be a New York story. KBPI's Uncle Nasty got his ass booted. Uncle Nasty, I feel for you. I don't know what happened there.
What is his name?
Uncle Nasty.
But maybe, I bet you they fired him because he says dirty stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the do that.
This ain't about saying dirty stuff. This is not about the FCC. This has got everything to do with economics. And I think that's something people need to understand. It's always about economics, folks. It's never, ever about the way... when you hear that some guy got fired because he did a bit on the air that was tasteless, he got fired because the station has decided to make an economic move. The stations love it when you get in the news for doing something tasteless, so long as you're not violating the FCC and getting fined. And there's a lot of stuff you can do and not get fined. So when you hear them say, a guy got fired because he did this or that, or he had sex with a pig or something...
What station is going to keep a man employed?
Margaret.
Yeah, but if you think about it, if he gets ratings.
Bud's right.
Bud's right about what? A station's going to leave a man employed if he had sex with a pig.
If it got ratings, yes. Yes.
What?
I mean, they won't because it's clearly an FCC violation.
What is it?
What is it? The guy's having bestial sex on the air.
Yeah, but they can't hear it. I mean, they could hear it, they can't see it.
It doesn't matter. It would be animal abuse. It's a violation of the law.
Exactly. It's a violation of animal abuse. Anyway, so they gave me a month's severance, KBPI's Uncle Nasty told a local blog. That is 15 years I worked for them and helped them on their bottom line. They must have thought highly of me to pay me and keep me on that long. You know what I mean? I'm just in shock. I think what he's saying is he got 15 years worth of severance, and he's basically saying he didn't get a lot.
That's exactly what he's saying. He's also saying that he's being sarcastic when he says, I must have really saved them a lot of money.
Well, I don't know what he's saying there. I mean, a company spokeswoman declined to comment. I say woman because she may be the boss, for all I know. A company spokeswoman declined to comment on the number of people laid off. We're going to get into more of this story. Michael Harrison of Talkers made a comment that I thought was pretty interesting. He said, basically... that the people that run Clear Channel are the scum of the earth.
What?
I'm kidding. No, he didn't. He did say that the environment's really getting bad. And I don't think I've heard him. He's a guy that's kind of a spokesperson for the programming side of things. I don't think I've ever heard him come out as strongly as he did today when he said, this is really, the industry is just degenerated. What it is, it's a badly run industry, folks. It's a badly run industry, radio, and talent keeps paying for the mistakes that these idiots who run the industry make. We keep paying for it. We are the ones that are getting fired. We're the ones that are put on the street. And the same guys that have been running this business into the ground for the last 20 years, 30 years, they're still in charge. All right, we'll be right back. 877-876-PHILLY. We have Stephen Bozell on the line to talk with us about PSY and that condom style or whatever the hell that is.
It's Gangnam Style, for God's sake, Phil.
Yo, disheartened, right?
No, it's not.
Gangnam Style, excuse me. When we come back, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
There you go. All right, before we bring on Stephen Bozell, tell me, Margaret Gray, who is this singer?
This
singer, who is he?
Your home is where you're happy.
Charles Manson.
It's not.
Was I asking you?
It's Charles Manson.
Yeah, well, now you know.
What?
Did I ask you or did I ask her?
I don't know.
He was asking Margaret, you dumbass.
Well, that is Charles Manson, though, isn't it?
I think it's Charles Manson.
Uh-huh.
What?
Well, you heard him say it.
He jogged my memory, that's all.
But when I say to Margaret, okay...
I just blurted it out because I knew. How can I... I can't contain the knowledge what I got.
You can't contain the knowledge what you got. Man, that's a hot one.
You can't contain the knowledge.
I heard Bud say it was Charles Manson, but I was also going along those lines anyway in my thinking process. Now then.
I'd rather listen to Charles than you, Margaret.
How dare you?
That your home.
Your home is how you're happy. Are you ready for that? This cat can sing.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Man, I don't hear it at all.
No, you'll never get me. No. I mean, I can understand the attraction. I do understand. The sexual attraction...
Whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, my God. You want to be one of Charlie's girls.
No, I did not. How dare you? How dare you?
Well, how dare you say stuff about how you can understand the attraction?
No, I didn't say... I meant the singing. Of course he's not a professional. And of course he needed work. But I certainly understand, Phil, because I've been around the recording business. I've been around the music business. I understand the attraction that was there for people like Dennis Wilson and Terry Melcher, who, by the way, was a wonderful producer. You know, his mother was Doris Day.
Terry Melcher's mother was Doris Day, yes. Is, well, was, because Terry is no longer with us.
You mean Doris is still alive, but Terry's gone?
Yes, Doris is still alive, but Terry's gone.
Who's Terry?
Terry Melcher.
That was Doris Day?
What?
Terry Melcher was Doris Day.
No, Terry Melcher was not Doris Day. That was her son. Her son. Terry Melcher was a record producer in the 60s who produced a lot of rock and roll. And he was a well-known producer, and he produced...
Who did he produce? Sonny and Cher?
Not Sonny and Cher. He did the Byrds. He did some good bands. So...
Sonny and Cher wasn't good enough.
Yeah, you just dissed Sonny and Cher. I don't even believe it.
Oh, well, gee whiz. I happen to be a big Cher fan, so don't go down that road with me, my friend. All right, let's quit screwing around, shall we?
Well, why did you start playing Chuck?
Chuck?
That's right.
Chuck, huh?
What do you mean, Chuck?
I said Chuck. It's shorthand. It doesn't mean I love him. It's Hollywood shorthand.
Well, I was playing some Chuck for you, huh?
Phil, don't start making me a member of the murder cult. I simply said Chuck because I will give him that much respect. There is talent there. Home is where you're happy. What he needs, really, is a touch, I think, a little bit of a lighter touch on that.
Well, you want to work on it?
I'd be happy to give it a shot, but I need to work on it by myself. I need to get Lloyd on the phone.
Yeah, I'll get Mr. Bonfire on then.
Yes, get Lloyd on.
So Margaret's going to sing that Charles Manson song for us.
What are you laughing at?
I can't wait for this. You're going to sing a Chuck Manson song with Lloyd.
So all it is high comedy. Is that it?
No, it's not high comedy. My hat's off to you, Margaret, for taking a shot at it. Just the idea is nuts. So Margaret's going to sing Home Is Where... What song are you going
to
do?
I don't know. I might do Cease to Exist. I love the... Cease to Exist is it, there's a feeling there.
Cease to Exist?
Yeah, that's the one that Charles Manson done. Then a Beach Boys did it, but they changed the name to it on account of it about death.
Yeah, they changed it to Cease to Resist.
Cease to Resist.
Yeah.
You know, I bet you the Beach Boys long regret the day they ever ran into that nut. All right, let's get on the phone here and get something done before I go nuts. Our number, 877-876-7445. We're going to be joined here by Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. And Mr. Bozell, could you please take us off of the airline feed, bud? Thank you very much. I don't know who we're going to be talking to, Hal and Viola, later on.
Yeah, I got him on the line, but that was just the interior of a 787 that they're fixing.
The interior of a 787. I'm glad they're fixing it. Mr. Bozell, how are you, sir?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. And I know that you're calling regarding the Gangnam Style. Is that it?
Yeah. And the gentleman's name, Mr. Henry, is Psy. It's not P-S-Y. I heard you say that it was Psy.
The rapper. Okay. Now, the headline here is a viral rapper. I apologize. Psy apologizes for anti-U.S. protests.
Yes, sir. I had my daughter listens to the song, and she's part of a little group of teen girls that, I don't know what you call it, you know, the girls these days, they say that's my posse or something like that.
Yeah, they're friends?
It's a group of her friends, but it's more than just friends. She calls it, my daughter calls it her posse, or... I'm not really, I don't get too crazy about that, but that's what she calls it, and my wife and I have looked into that.
Well, that's what the word the kids use. I don't think there's anything to look into.
Well, I don't know, because we're concerned these days, you know, Mr. Andrew, like any generation of young person, the kids are susceptible and are opened up to the different, I don't know what you want to call it, different influences.
All right, so let's talk about this song. Is it the song or is it this man's comments?
Well, the gentleman's a South Korean. He made a hit record with this Gangnam Style. It went viral on YouTube. He's now apologized, but for some of us, it's too late. He made some anti-U.S. protests several years ago. He issued a statement after reports have surfaced, and I saw them early, and I went to my wife, and I mentioned it at our breakfast table. He participated in concerts protesting U.S. military presence in South Korea. And I said to my wife, why do I allow this music in my home? And my wife said that apparently this man's apologized. But there were years there, and I told my daughter there were 8 years there, where this man's comments against our United States military, a country that we defended them against the overrun, you understand that South Korea would be North Korea too, if it hadn't been for the United States military.
I understand that, sir, yeah.
So, and what they have in North Korea, that's the way life would be in South Korea if it wasn't for the United States military, the United States Marine Corps, the United States Army, the United States General, MacArthur, who's the United States General, the United States everything, the United States doctors, United States nurses, United States tractors.
The American effort, along with the United Nations.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely.
Along with the United Nations. It was the United Nations. There were Canadian soldiers there, and there were British soldiers there, and there were French soldiers there. There were a lot of nations that participated in a support or active, combat role in the Korean War. So I think your point is very well made, that when we look at North Korea today, and we look at what a desolation it is, and what a just this horrific Stalinist nightmare that country is, where people are literally digging into the ground for roots or anything they can find to eat. And then you look at South Korea. Yeah, that could have been South Korea's fate. So there's no question. Now, my question for you then is a problem with this singer Psy, and we're going to get to it here after our break, is that he did participate in these protests.
Absolutely, sir. And the fact that he did participate in these protests, the fact that my daughter has brought his music into our home, and the fact that there was a photograph of him today in the news standing next to what looks like a cardboard cutout, but for a moment there I thought it was a real man, so it looked to me as if he had a posse of Koreans wearing sunglasses, and I had an outburst that I needed to apologize to my daughter for.
You're very emotional. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, we'll be right back.
And I wanted to say to my...
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me is Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, whose daughter is a fan of this rapper Psy, a South Korean rapper who's come out with a song. It's been out for a while. Entertaining song, a satirical song called Gangnam Style. I guess I'm pronouncing it right. And you've heard the song, Steve, right?
Well, yes, sir.
All right. And I was sort of playing... Whoa, wait, hold on there, bud. Turn that off, okay?
Yeah, it's Pink Floyd.
I don't care if it's Pink Floyd. I don't want Pink Floyd. I want this other guy.
Who?
The guy that we're talking about. Hold on for a minute, folks. Here it is. This is the song.
You don't want Charles Manson.
I don't want Charles Manson. Charles Manson.
This is not, I don't want to hear Charles Manson. Mr. Henry, I'm not trying to compare this man to Charles Manson.
No, I know you're not, sir. Hold on for just a moment. What's the story?
Well, you have it, man.
I thought you wanted Manson.
I don't want Manson. I want this. Would you get the other gentleman just to, yeah, we'll be right with you, sir. I want the song by this man named Psy, okay?
That's S-Y.
No, P-S-Y.
Is he Jewish?
Jewish?
Well, yeah, Psy.
He's thinking of Psy Silverman.
Will you get serious? The guy's a Korean, Psy Silverman. The guy is a Korean rapper, P-S-Y. And the song is called Gangnam Style, or whatever the hell, and that's what I've got this gentleman on to talk about, you freak. Here it is here. All right, Mr. Bozell, are you there, sir?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Mr. Bozell, are you there?
Open Gangnam Style.
Turn it down, will you, bud?
Gangnam Style, Mr. Bozell. Open Gangnam Style. Yeah.
Turn it down, bud, okay? Turn the thing down, man, before I start going crazy.
Yeah, that right there is what I heard. And that right there is what drove me to the statements that I made. I did apologize to my daughter's class. And
all right, now, hold on for a minute, sir, because I don't know what you're talking about. I'm still trying to get the levels controlled here.
Well, that's the song. And
yeah, it goes like this, right, sir? You hear this song? Here, I'll get up and demonstrate it. Watch.
But nobody wants you to dance, okay?
Yeah!
Oh, my God, look at him go.
Yeah!
Woo!
You get to sit down, will you?
Woohoo! Bud, I had no idea. I mean, I'm not saying you can bust a move, but...
This guy, yeah, I like it.
Can I make some statements, or...
Yes, sir, you may. You're the reason why we're doing this, and I apologize. Sit down, will you, bud?
Okay, you want to hear any more of it?
No, I don't want to hear any more of it. I heard more than enough.
I can tell you, Mr. Henry, I've heard plenty of that song, too. The comments that I made, though, I apologize to my daughter for.
Mr. Bozell, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
You sound very upset, and I just want to say from all of us, I am politically very liberal, so I support to a degree, not entirely, but to a degree, the rightful goals of the North Korean people. Now, having said that, I also agree with you that a great many men lost their lives and sacrificed their lives to keep South Korea a nation of plenty.
Well, I can tell you, ma'am, that I was talking to Mr. Northcraft here a moment ago. Mr. Northcraft was in the United States Army, and he'd seen North Korea. They flew over it probably illegally because...
No, they didn't fly over it illegally.
Well...
He saw it from the air. And what Dan said was he saw North Korea was just pitch black, and South Korea was...
Well, what, lit up with all kinds of carnival lights?
Not carnival lights, no.
Well, then what are we talking about?
Yeah, there's multicolored lights.
Multicolored lights? That doesn't necessarily mean that North Korea is inferior.
How about this, Margaret? There were no lights in North Korea, and there were lights in South Korea. Will that be okay to say?
That's all right to say, but for you to say that North Korea was a desolation of darkness and South Korea was a panorama of festival and kaleidoscopic color, I think is, if it's true, is unfair for you to say in the way that it makes North Korea...
Well, ma'am, can I just...
Go ahead, Mr. Bozell.
I just jump in. I don't want to say that North Korea can't turn on a light. You know, I'm not saying that.
What we're saying, sir, is simply that the communist system does not afford, obviously, for the marshalling of resources so that people have lights at night, you know. And I've been to a country like that. I was in China in the early 80s where they had no... You flew into Beijing and half the city was dark.
You went into Peking?
Mr. Henry was in Peking, China.
Beijing, China.
But when you were there, it was Peking.
No, when I was there, when do you think I was there? 1920? It was Beijing.
What do they call it now?
Beijing.
They didn't change it the way that the Russians changed the city's names after they got rid of the communisms. But I don't know what they do in China now.
Yeah, they didn't get rid of no communism in China, so everything's still called Chinese. It's all still Chinese.
Yeah, as soon as they get rid of communism, they'll probably change it over.
To what?
More like China City?
Yeah, they'll probably call it China City.
No, they won't call it China City. If they get democracy in China, they'll probably still call it Beijing.
Don't they call it like... I know in South Vietnam, they call it Vietnam Town or something.
No, they don't call it Vietnam Town. What are you guys talking about anyway? You want to talk about this Gangnam-style guy?
I do, but I want to be very clear that I support the American way of life. And
I do too, sir. I do too. I support the American way of life. I support freedom. I support the free enterprise system. And I absolutely understand, as I said to you...
Phil, we don't need another speech, if that's all right. You remember the song, We Don't Need Another Hero? Woohoo! We don't need it.
Yeah, I like that. It kind of goes...
Don't dance, bud.
Yeah.
Sit down, will you? I'm giving a speech. You mind?
No, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Bozell.
Yes, sir.
I agree 100%. A great many men lost their lives in the Korean conflict to keep from happening in South Korea what we now see happening in North Korea. A desolation, no civilization that anybody would be comfortable living in, people starving, living under a dictatorship that is inefficient. I mean, it's one thing to live under a dictatorship where maybe they keep you fed at least. This is a collection of individuals that lead that country that are starving their people. And if there isn't, if that's not bad enough, they can't do anything about it because they're too weak probably to have a revolution.
That's what I'm saying. I said to my wife, those people probably have low blood sugar and can't, you know, get a revolution. They don't have no vitamins or anything. And my wife said, well, they're getting vegetables. I said, I don't even think they're getting, you know, I think they don't even get meats. I don't think they get any even canned goods. And I don't think they get vegetables. So how are they going to have a revolution?
Well, Mr. Bozell, this is Margaret Gray again.
Yeah.
Oh, well, excuse me. I'll keep my mouth shut.
It's just that every time. So,
Margaret, say what you want to say.
No, he didn't want me to say anything.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but I wanted to get to the point of...
No, go ahead. That's all right.
Are you sure, Margaret?
Yes.
Go on, Steve.
Well, now I want to know what she said.
Just go on, sir.
So, when I said to my wife and when I said to my daughter that the Chinese or the Korean singer, this guy Psy, with this open condom style, was singing this song that I found to be offensive because this man had partaked of a concert.
Can I just help you out here?
Yes, sir.
He was in a concert in 2004 in which he was talking about American soldiers torturing Iraqis. He talked in this concert or performed a song with lyrics about killing Yankees, who he said were torturing Iraqi captives and their families slowly and painfully. He also smashed a U.S. tank on stage. Now, these are all legitimate protests in a free society. There's no question about it. Are they odious to myself and maybe Mr. Bozell? Yes, they are. Nonetheless, that was what those men and women fought and died for.
Well, you know, I take exception you say women.
Of what?
Of a dude.
Excuse me, sir, but I'm not going to let that go.
Hold on, Margaret, I got it.
Am I not allowed to comment?
Go ahead.
I'm not letting that go, Mr. Bozell. What do you mean you didn't mean to say women?
No women soldiers.
What about the female civilians that died in that war?
That's a good point, sir.
Well, but all they did was they just laid there and got, I shouldn't say, but they just laid there and got raped. And
what? No, whoa, come on.
My God, and I was feeling sorry for you. What an ignoramus, dumb point of... I often talk about...
I didn't mean to say that. What I meant to say is that...
Sir, there were partisans in the South that were fighting on behalf of their country, and a great many of these partisans, you will find if you study history, were females. And it was no less true in South Korea than it was in any other country fighting for its freedom. So... it's a very ignorant thing for you to say, and especially when you say all they did was lay there and get raped.
I didn't, sir. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Well, you should watch what you say. I swear, every day I come into the studio and I talk with three men whose brains have been marinating in a freak show, stupid, gelatinous substance. That's what I think of. I can't even describe it. And then I sit down... Mr. Henry goes to the first guest, and I'm confronted by a man whose mind has been soaking in the spring water of imbecility. That's what's been going on.
God, that's beautiful the way you said that. I know you're insulting me, but that's the most beautiful.
Well, that's what's going on with you, sir.
I understand that, ma'am, I accept it because I've never been insulted in such a beautiful way. And
what do you mean you've never been insulted in such a beautiful way?
You said that my mind was soaking in the spring.
In the spring water of imbecility, yes.
That makes my mind tuna.
It makes your brain tuna, yes.
What part's the mind?
Bob is spring water.
Would you people shut up and let me move on with this, okay?
Good God, what crawled up your ass?
Mr. Henry, I have to apologize.
Why don't... It's just all of you people be quiet and let me say something, okay?
I just want to apologize.
No, don't apologize. Margaret, don't say anything. Just everybody shut up. None of this is going anywhere.
I'm not complimenting.
I know what you're doing, okay? And saying that somebody's mind is soaking in the spring water of imbecility is not moving this bit any further down the road. Now, I want to get to what you got into it with your daughter and her class about, Mr. Bozell.
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind, Margaret and Bud and Robert...
You went, Bud and Robert. What, are you going to cry?
Yeah, I think you're going to cry.
I'm not crying. I was coughing.
Mr. Henry, I'll let you go if you're going to cry.
I'm not crying.
Well, it looked like... I'm sorry.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I got up in the morning. I shaved. I showered. I put some talc on. I patted down moistures that were... You know, in other words, I don't mean to drag it out. I took a shower is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Then I went downstairs, stopped, and petted our dog. You don't need all this information, do you?
No, sir. Just tell me. You sat down in the kitchen.
Yes, sir. And I sat in the kitchen, and I picked up the newspaper. And...
What is that?
Ain't that Gangnam Style?
Turn that off. Don't touch the board.
Go
ahead.
And I saw where this man, Sai, had made these comments about the United States military. And I was upset. My daughter was there. And I said to her and to my wife, and I said it not knowing the consequences, but I said, thank God for Godzilla. And when my daughter heard that, she said, why? I said, because at least, even if this guy Sai is still walking around, at least I know Godzilla took out a few hundred thousand, is what I figured. And my daughter said, she laughed. In that derisive way, which I knew meant she was going to school and reporting it to Mrs. Dorton, she laughed derisively, and...
What's derisively?
It means dismissively. It means mockingly.
Yes, sir. And she laughed derisively and got up and grabbed her books, kissed her mother and said, Mother, I'm late for school. Did not kiss me. That's when I knew I was in for it. And that's when I tried to apologize to her as she was going out the door, but she'd have none of it.
So you said to your daughter, thank God for Godzilla.
Yes, sir. And
even though Godzilla attacked Japan.
Yes, sir. And that was the part. I'm sorry I said it. But I'm also sorry. I feel embarrassed that I had the wrong country. But I'm just, you know, I'm just sorry.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I gotta say.
Oh?
All right, you guys don't need to make it worse.
Well, I think they should. I think that was racist, absolutely racist.
It was racist against Koreans, but...
Well, no, it was just racist. Just racist, that's all.
Was it stupid?
No, it wasn't stupid. It was just racist.
All right, we'll be right back with more from Mr. Stephen Bozell and see how things went with his school, because now his daughter has gone off to a very liberal middle school, CK Corona, where Erica Dorton is the headmistress, and he's had run-ins with her on some of the things he says at home to his daughter. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I know I blew it.
No, you're doing fine, sir.
I know. Wasn't there a monster that attacked Korea?
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me is Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, as we talk with him about his daughter and the school's headmistress at CK Corona, where he had a, I guess, another one of these interventions. I don't know what you call them, Steve, when you are over at the school and you're talking with the parents or talking with the students. What is this?
Well, the school characterizes it as a part of the overall educational platform that they provide for parents and students. And when something is said in the home that the school disapproves of, they will immediately let you know. They flag what you say. They have you come in and talk.
And you don't feel this is intrusive at all?
Phil, you have been down this road with this call. If I may, I have something to say here.
Go ahead.
You've been down this road with this caller on this topic many times, and I think it's been made very clear by Erica Dorton, Jane Gwinnell, and the other teachers there that they'll have none of it.
Mr. Henry, they have said, I told them, I think it's unfair for them to, come into my home and listen to things that I'm saying in my bathroom or wherever wherever I'm saying, and they've said they'll have none of it.
Oh, they'll have none of it. Well,
it's a private. Is it not a private school?
No, ma'am. It's a public school.
Well, it's still a private school in that, if you'll just hear me out.
So it's a public school?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
If you'll hear me out, Phil.
Well, that changes things.
No, it does not change anything. It's a public school, but private in the sense that very exceptional children go there. Is it like a magnet school?
Well, it just so happens that the children that go to that school from the area of Corona that we live in, which borders the 57, I can tell you more about it if you want.
Not really. I don't. I've been out to that part of the county, but it's not my favorite area.
All right. Well, the point I'm trying to make is that the children that come from our area are highly exceptional children, and they have looked into why that would be. It's not that it's a magnet school. It's just that the kids that go to that school have a high IQs. They theorized that at one time there were a lot of farms out here, that certain chemicals were used in the, in the fertilizing of crops that might have seeped into the water supply, and the mothers drank from that water supply, and it created some, a giant brain on the kids. I don't know.
Whoa, hold on for a minute. Now you're into a whole other thing that's really fascinating.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, it's a public school.
It's a public school, but all the kids that go there, you say, are very exceptional?
Yes, sir. They're all very high IQs. It's just, luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw. I mean, if this was cancer, there would be, the Center for Disease Control or the EPA or the NIH,
Well, it wouldn't be the Center for... That's an infectious disease. It would be the... No, well, that's the National Institute. Yes, NIH, National Institute of Health.
Okay, well, whatever. Don't you think the government would look into it?
Well, what's to look into?
If there's a bunch of kids concentrated in a certain area that go to a public school, as you say, and they all happen to be of a very high intellect, high IQ, it's a public school, so it's not a magnet school. There's nothing that is creating any particular draw for any kind of kid. It just so happens that the kids that attend this public school in this area are very high IQ, high aptitude children.
Yes, sir.
Well, what I'm saying is, if the past experience is any... teacher, if these children suffered from a similar condition, only it was a malady of some kind, the government would be looking into it.
The government would look into what?
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
What am I not saying that you guys don't get?
Mr. Henry's saying it. I understand.
What are you saying these children have some form of cancer?
My daughter is very intelligent, Mr. Henry. She doesn't got a doesn't have a grapefruit-sized tumor coming out of the side of her head.
No, I understand that. I'm simply saying that the girl, along with all of her classmates, your daughter... Never mind, okay?
Yeah, can we move on now? I think that you get these ideas in your head, and somehow you see yourself as a best-selling author or something.
No, I know that there's people out there that understand what I'm saying. So...
Yes, sir. So, Ms. Dorton called my home. I have the recording. I had said to her, I'm sorry.
You had said that thank God for Godzilla.
I said it's a good thing. I said, yeah, I said thank God for Godzilla. At least that took care of a couple hundred thousand of them. And I realized later that this man had apologized. But even before he apologized, I apologized for saying about Godzilla because that was Japanese. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay, unfortunately, I've run out of time.
Well, I've got the tape recorder all set up.
Okay, all right, tell you what.
I want to hear the tape recording.
It's the same one that he always has.
Of what?
Of her breathing into the phone.
Well, it might be something that... I don't know.
I mean, I've got it ready.
All right, hold on, sir. We'll come back after the break. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Cue it up. Okay, baby.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Hour 2. We have with us Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. He'll continue talking to us about his reaction to his daughter enjoying the song Gangnam Style by Psy. And it really isn't so much the song, because the song's been out for a while. It's been viral for a while, or was viral, and now it's just, you know, popular. But it was news that came to light here recently that this man, Psy, had been involved in a concert protesting American policy globally, the Iraq war at the time, as well as U.S. military forces in South Korea. He was protesting this in 2004. He has since apologized. And let me just read to you. Well, I'll read it to you when we get into it.
Yeah, yeah, you're doing some promos and stuff.
Yeah, get the promos done, then you can read here. I'll give it to you.
We'll just put it there. Anyway, folks, put it in front of me, bud. You don't have to stick it up my nose, man, okay?
Good story.
Thank you very much. I got it.
Bud, no, put it over here. I'll hold it, Phil.
I have room for... Get the thing out of my face, man.
All right.
In any event...
Where were you?
Yeah, what were you saying?
I don't know now, because I got Bud trying to jam copy up my nostril. In any event, welcome, folks. And our website is philhenryshow.com. Get your backstage pass and enjoy our live streaming video of the show, as well as our live streaming, audio that's on the video, you know. And also thousands of hours of archived material. We have close to 5,000 hours, over a decade's worth of full shows on the Phil Henry Show website, the largest repository of any single radio show in the history of man on this planet. And I dare say it will be the largest for many, 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 many years to come. Why do I say that? Because I know what it took for us to archive all of this audio, and it ain't easy. Believe me when I tell you. And we're still chronicling the blogs, and we're just, you know. In a couple of weeks, we're rolling out a new design for our website, as well as, and this is the exciting news, not only do we have Apple compatibility for our on-demand media, meaning if you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can go into our archives and listen or watch our video or audio at your leisure, but we will provide it for the live streaming of our video cast in a couple of weeks. So your iPhone, your iPad, you can, we're mobile, baby, with you, no matter where you are, between 10 and 1 West Coast, 1 and 4 East Coast.
So someone could, now let's just think about this for a minute.
Okay.
Someone is sitting in an automat somewhere, someone's sitting in a downtown cafeteria. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And there's someone sitting in the rain on a bus bench. I don't know.
Yeah, they're in there watching Phil.
Yeah.
I just...
Why do you paint such a gruesome urban picture?
Well...
Someone's sitting in the rain on a bus bench. So maybe they are in a restaurant. You know, you could do that, folks. Let's say you find an all-night cafe. You can go in there and watch our show on your video, on your iPad or your iPhone, just like you can now on your Droid. There you go.
Well, I think it paints a very desolate urban picture. And thank God the Skid Row Stabber isn't still with us. That's all I have to say.
Oh, well, there we go. Thanks a lot, Margaret. Boy, any idea that we might have had people taking us mobile with them wherever they go at night, you just killed it there with the Skid Row Stabber. Where are you going?
I'm going to the bathroom.
They think she's trying to wreck your business.
She just doesn't know what she's talking about. You know her problem?
I don't like being talked about when I'm not in there.
Well, we're doing it anyway. You know what her problem is? Her ego is such that she's got to inject herself into every damn thing I say, even if it's negative. Let me get Stephen Bozell on the line here. Steve, sorry about that.
That's perfectly all right, Jerry.
And I know that it was very emotional. We have Mr. Bozell with us because his daughter is a fan of that song, Gangnam Style. This man, Psy, apologized for those comments that he made. He said that he was sorry. I believe he said in his statements he was they were part of a deeply emotional reaction to the war and the death of two Korean schoolgirls who were killed when a U.S. military vehicle hit them as they walked alongside the road. He noted anti-war sentiment was high around the world at the time.
So what did he do? He just joined right in and piled on, you know?
Well, maybe, but he's a young man, and he's a 34-year-old singer now, so at the time he was in his early 20s, and I think that is the province of youth to say these things that some of the rest of us don't have the guts to say or don't believe in any longer.
Were you ever an anti-war, Mr. Henry? I don't recall me ever being that way.
I was anti-Vietnam War, yeah. I was. But mostly for a lot of very youthful reasons, like, wow, I don't want to go fight in it, and my friends are going, and that sucks, and it's the establishment, and all adults are evil. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but see, I was totally in favor of it, and the only reason why I didn't go is because technically I got classified 4F for flat feet, and people, you know, thought that was funny, but, you know.
You had flat feet?
Yeah, well, you come from a long line of cops?
Ah! 35!
Get out of here. All right, sir, I understand you were 4F.
What was you?
I was 1A. I mean, I was. They could have had me if they wanted me, but... By the time I was of age for Vietnam, the draft lottery was instituted, and I was not taken. All right. He says, I hope all Americans can accept my apology. He attended college in the U.S. and says he understands the sacrifices of U.S. military members and the sacrifices they've made to protect South Korea and other nations. He's recently performed in front of servicemen and women. He says, I hope they and all Americans can accept my apology. While it's important that we express our opinions, I deeply regret the inflammatory and inappropriate language I used to do so. In my music, I try to give people a release, a reason to smile. I've learned that through music, our universal language can all come together as a culture of humanity, and I hope you'll accept my apology. He had participated in the protests. This was no secret in South Korea, where the U.S. has had a large military presence since the Korean War, but was not generally known in America until recent news events. He did not write Dear American, a song by the Korean band Next, but he does perform it. The song exhorts the listener to, quote, kill the Yankees who are torturing Iraqi captives, their superiors who ordered the torture, and their families. At one point, he raps, kill their daughters, mothers, daughters-in-law, and fathers. Kill them all slowly and painfully.
What about mothers-in-law?
He doesn't mention mothers-in-laws, just daughters, mothers, and daughters-in-laws.
And no father-in-law.
No fathers-in-law. There's just daughter. I don't know why they include the daughters-in-laws.
I can tell you, some of the daughters, those are the wives, you know. So my wife is technically a daughter-in-law of my mom and dad. So I guess in many ways she's expressing the opinion of the father.
Of your father?
Of my father, yeah.
To kill your wife?
To kill my daughter-in-law. Yeah, that's my wife.
That'd be your wife, your daughter-in-law.
Well, can we get off of this?
Well, why?
Never mind. He says kill. That's what the song says. Fathers, mothers, daughters-in-law, and then here's one, third cousins.
Oh, you're kidding now.
Yes, I'm kidding. All right, so...
Well, yeah, but third cousin, you know, extended great-uncle, if they can do it a lot of things, you never even know about it.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I don't know what you just said. All right, so, Steve, you call up Erica Dorton. She called you because you'd made the statement in front of your daughter, thank God for Godzilla.
Yes, sir. And I... You know, Mr. Henry, I can only tell you that I was sorry that I did that. I was sorry that it came out that way. When Ms. Dorton had called me, and I thought it was wrong of her to call me up, and to, when I heard the recording, and I don't know whether you want me to play it or not now, or you hear that?
What the hell is that?
What is that?
That was playing on her message.
Is that music from the movie?
That, yes, sir. Now, I said to my daughter, I said, that's Dirty Pool. If Ms. Dorton wants me to come in and...
Well, I just want to be clear. When Ms. Dorton called you to complain about your expressed opinion of Koreans and Godzilla, which was, as you have already said, ill-informed because it was the Japanese... It was a Japanese film.
That's correct.
She called up and played that.
I have the recording if you want to hear it.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, this I got to hear because...
Stand by, please. Please stand by. Proceeded by last night, 1:30 p.m.
That's her breathing into the phone, as we've heard her do, and...
Yeah, and playing the Godzilla.
And playing the Godzilla soundtrack.
Well, I mean playing the music. Now, it's clear to me that she's trying to scare me. She's trying to scare eight shades of you-know-what right clean out of me. And, boy, I can tell you this right now with no fear of being told that, you know, that... With no fear of it not being... not.
With no fear of of it not being true.
What?
What did you just say, Phil?
With no fear of it not being true, yeah, that she scared eight shades of you know what out of me, and so I'm.
The answer, the Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Okay, we can turn that off. Is that something else she played?
Yes, sir.
So she calls you up, and she's playing the music to Godzilla. I think, as I've said to you before, sir, you've got a nutcase there.
I understand that, but my daughter likes going to school there. My wife wants her to go to school there. I don't know what to do.
I'll tell you what you do. It's very simply this. You go to that school, you meet with that teacher, and you say, you are not to call my home ever again for any reason. And if you try to expel my daughter from a public school because I am taking exception to you calling and breathing into the phone...
See, right there, I've got to spell it out.
Yes, of course you do, because if for whatever reason the school decides to punish you by expelling your daughter, let's say, you have a legal recourse. Are you saving these tapes?
Yes, sir, I am. Oh, well, this one, but...
What about the other ones you played for us?
I don't know.
Mr. Bozell, you got to save all of this stuff.
You have to save all of these as evidence.
Yeah.
Well, I've got this one, and I've...
You've played at least three or four tapes of this woman calling and breathing.
This is probably the best. I've never heard her play music or... I mean, I'm not... I don't approve, but it's very dramatic. You can tell. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, do-do-do. You know the dramatic rhythm of it?
Fine, it's dramatic, but, I mean, she's scaring living hell out of this man.
Yeah, but Miss Gray is saying, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, do-do-do. You can see the Godzilla creature.
That's what scared me.
See, that's what he's saying. The plodding, stalking nature of the creature is brought forth brilliantly by Takiro Kukunawa's soundtrack. That's all I'm trying to say.
Do you know who this man is?
I understand, Mr. Who?
Takiro Kukunawa.
Yeah, Mr. Kukaruga or something.
I'm going to look up the guy, and if it ain't...
I'm going to look up the guy, and if it ain't... What are you laughing at?
I think you're right, Ms. Gray. I've looked it up on DMDB or whatever it's called.
IMDB?
Yes, sir. And I believe it's Kukaruga, Kukaju. I don't know what his name is.
It's no Kiranawa Kukarugu.
You know something? I said it right the first time, and now these asses.
All right. Mr. Bozell, thank you, sir. I'm going to let him go. We'll be right back. Are we going to be hearing you and Lloyd singing?
We are going to sing one of the Charles Manson songs, as per your request. Yes, Lloyd and I have been trying to work on it. But you keep drawing me back into the conversation.
Margaret, you've been leaving and walking out of here.
Yeah, at least three times.
God, he spit.
Wipe your mouth, will you, Robert?
Well, I mean, wipe.
Oh, God. I walked out of here to do the song with Lloyd, but I keep hearing stupidity just coming through the door, and I'm compelled to go back home.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yes, sir.
The Phil Henry Show.
Lloyd, I got the song. Home is where the heart is.
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, Lloyd and Margaret have joined us, and we're going to hear from the two of them in a second here singing this song that we had played earlier. And I don't know whether I played it on the air or not, but we played a song that was sung and written by Charles Manson. And I think people are probably not, I think 90% of the people listening to me right now are, do we have lyrics for this, Margaret?
Well, I don't know whether that's important. Home is where the heart is. Lloyd, come on in here, darling.
Lloyd, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
And you're going to sing this.
Yeah, well, I'm going to sing the song, I'm going to sing the song that she asked me to sing with her. And my daughter brought me over here.
Yes, he's going to sing. And you look nice in your plaid shirt.
Well, this is what I wore to work.
Okay, you look good, man. Home is where you're happy, I think, is the name of the song. Let's see. Home is where your heart is. Home is where you're happy. Let me see if there are any lyrics to this. Here it is, yeah.
Oh, so there are lyrics. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, there's Home is Where You're Happy is the Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson. Is that the one that was written by Manson?
I don't know. Perhaps.
Well, why would Willie Nelson? I guess Willie Nelson knows talent.
I don't know if Willie Nelson did this song. All right. Margaret Gray and Lloyd are going to sing this song. We have the lyrics, although it's like I say, I don't know whether or not you guys are going to actually be lyrically correct with this, but let's hear it. It is a song that, as I said, and I think you'll be probably surprised to a degree when you hear Charles Manson. He's a murderer and not a nice man, but he did have a level of talent that I think at least explains the interest that people had in him. Turn that off, bud.
Sorry. That's not Charles Manson. No.
No, that ain't Charles Manson, man.
That's that South Korean guy.
What, Charles Manson?
It ain't Charles Manson.
Here's Charles Manson.
Here is Charles Manson. Home is where you're happy. Will you turn that off, please? Thank you. I don't know what's going on here, man. Why is that? Oh, I know what it is. It's the damn thing. Oh, God. All right, here we go.
Stop. What are you doing?
I'm sorry. It took me a while to...
Hit the button?
Yeah, you know, I don't have all the time in the world.
Sorry.
Okay, this, ladies and gentlemen, is Home is Where You're Happy by me and Lloyd. Go ahead.
Your home is where you're happy.
Happy.
It's not where you're not free.
Lloyd, now you.
Now
home is where your hell now.
Hey.
I can't hear myself. I can't hear myself.
But
turn it off, turn it off. What's the problem?
I practiced the whole...
I'm the one that goes, ooh-hoo. Then he comes in with, and I love the turn you give it. Please, sing it for Mr. Henry.
Now, you know, I do that.
You do what?
I go, where you're happy. It's the only thing I know how to do.
He's really good at that. The rest of the song he can't sing.
And apparently you can't either.
I beg your pardon. I could sing rings around this song. Are you insane? Are you mad? Of course I can sing this. I'm not about to sing the whole ridiculous, asinine Charles Manson song. All we want to do is give a feel for it. A feel for it. Do you understand, finally?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Lloyd, take your position.
Now, hey, that's what you want me to do, right?
Yes. When I cue you, all right, you take your position. I'm standing here.
That's really great because you're nowhere near the microphone.
I don't want to be near the microphone because I'm singing very loudly. God, where'd you learn audio?
Yeah, Mr. Ryan, you got to learn audio technique and everything.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right, here we go. Margaret Gray and Home is Where You're Happy, as written by Charles Manson.
Wait, stop. Stop the song. What are you trying to pull?
Yeah, what was that all about?
Pull what?
As written by Charles Manson. What you want to do is take the audience's head and dip it into liquid dung very quickly before you pull them up. They get air and they enjoy the song. Is that it?
Yeah, that's the way it seems to me, that you wanted to force the audience into a realization of the dung heap they're about to enter into. And what we're trying to do is give the... I'm having a difficult time breathing.
All right, just everyone calm down. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm sorry. I won't say anything about Charles Manson having written this.
Well, you just did.
You did it again.
Here's Margaret Gray, then, with a song called Home Is Where You're Happy.
People may think that that's the song written by Manson. Say it's the Willie Nelson song.
I can't say that because it isn't.
Just say it.
Just say it, Mr. Henry. You can save all of us a lot of embarrassment.
Here is the Willie Nelson song, Home Is Where You're Happy, is sung by Margaret Gray.
To
see.
Yeah. Show you that.
You know, Lloyd, you got a nice a nice ass.
To be free, so burn all your bridges.
Turn that off before I flip out, okay?
I think it's a very it's a nice song and has potential, but you're right. Lloyd does that whole
That's what you like, huh?
Yeah, that sounds good. It's unfortunately, it's a non sequitur. There's no lyrics attached to it. Good work. We'll be listening to more of this later, right?
Yes, we're going to go back and work on it some more. The song, Lloyd, the song.
Phil Henry.
Well, put some underwear on. Telling you that ain't Charles Manson.
This was the Manson song that came out after those tapes. In the
cool of the evening. This is Charles Manson, right?
This isn't Charles Manson. This is the classics. Get out of here, bud.
This is Charles Manson before the other guys did it.
What? This is the band. And see a
movie. Don't you notice that's Charles Manson? See a movie.
Margaret, it's...
It's what?
You know, that, Ms. Gray, if I could say that, that's a wonderful way of doing a song if you don't know the lyrics, but you can carry it melodically. And that's what I've told, you know, I've talked to Peggy about it, I've talked to my daughter, that you can carry it melodically.
Lloyd, if I may.
Well, it's your show. You know, it's your world, boss. I'm just cleaning the under rim of the toilet.
Oh, God, that's unnecessary, Lloyd. Phil is not the god of Earth.
It's his show, so it's his world.
All right, listen, I'm not trying to lord it over anybody, but I'm telling you that if you don't know the lyrics, humming along the way Margaret does, I think, does not add anything to it.
Well, that's what you think, all right? I'm talking to Mr. Bonafide, who, after the Korean War, do you want to tell Mr. Henry what you did?
We had a combo.
They had a combo.
What's that, a sandwich? Ow! Well, I didn't know.
He doesn't know what a combo... It's a band.
I thought it was a... Talk about a combo, man. I'm thinking about chicken tender.
Not about a chicken tender.
It's not chicken tenders, you marvelous and colossal and almost... You're the attack of the 50-foot ass.
Mr. I know people are... Their tempers are fraying here.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I had a combo after we got out of the Navy. I came back from Korea, and we had a jazz combo.
And what was it called?
It was the Lloyd Bonafide combo. Lloyd Bonafide and his combo.
That was... So it's not a sandwich?
No, it's not a sandwich. God almighty. God, I want to hurt someone.
Take it easy, Lloyd.
And we played at a number of nightclubs in the Alhambra, Monterey Park, Pasadena area of Los Angeles.
Okay, in the 50s.
No, in the 30s, yes, in the 50s. I got out of the Navy in 1952.
Phil, are you listening to Mr. Bonafide? He did this for his country. He came home and tried to have a show business career with Lloyd Bonafide and his combo. Was that it?
No, it was Lloyd Bonafide and the combo.
Lloyd Bonafide and the combo. I understand. I mean, And Bud and Robert, you're idiots. I agree with Mr. Bonafide. You got to know what a combo isn't a sandwich meal at McDonald's. They used to call bands that.
But what's that mean?
Yeah.
Combination. Combination. Combo. So there was, in those days, a sax player, a lot of jazz groups. Generally, it was like four pieces, you know.
That's what they say, four pieces.
That's it, right away, if you don't think about a chicken tender. Though I don't understand why you get so angry.
Well, what? Why do you have to think of chicken tenders when I say combo? Listen to what Mr. Henry is saying.
Because he said four pieces.
But not everything is a bucket of chicken, man, okay? This is a guy's band.
Oh, my God. I don't know why I agreed to come on this program.
Well, you know what, Margaret? You can quit anytime you want.
Yeah, quit anytime you want. You don't like it.
No, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll quit you, as in...
Put your high heel back on.
The heel goes into his eye.
Put your high heel back on.
Oh, baby, this is getting good. I'd love to see that.
Put it.
Now, I had a combo, and it was called Lloyd Bonafide and the Combo, and we played different. We played Glow Little, Glow Worm, Glow It, Glow It. We did that one. And what else, Margaret, I was telling you?
Well, I think you did Glow. Oh, you did Marie. Woo, Marie. I don't know what it was called. Oh, and you did So Rare, didn't you?
Yes, we did So Rare. You're like the heaven on earth, you're so rare. The rarefied air up there. A lot of, you know, you have to understand I don't remember the song.
No, I understand that.
And then we did a song that was a big favorite in the clubs we played in, Love and Marriage, Love and Marriage. It goes together with a carriage.
Yeah, that was on Married with Children.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Married with Children had that as a theme song.
I don't know, I'm not familiar with that.
It was a television program.
Oh, well, good for them, okay? I'm talking about Frank Sinatra. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the chairman of the board.
Yes, sir, I understand. The song is familiar to a different generation, you know.
Well, I don't care about the song being familiar to a different generation. I'm talking about Frank Sinatra!
Lloyd, my God.
Sit down, Lloyd. You're really...
I'm sorry, but I...
Sit down, man. You're going to have a stroke.
I wish I could get people to understand what I'm saying.
People understand what you're saying, sir. Everyone understands. I apologize, sir. I know Frank Sinatra did that song.
And you know the significance of Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, everybody know about it.
I'm not talking to you.
Yes, sir, I do know the significance. He was a giant. He was the greatest. I just was simply pointing out that with a modern generation, the song became popular again. It became popular again on this TV show.
And what was the show again?
It was called Married with Children.
And what did they say, and this is Frank Sinatra singing this?
I don't think they did, but they did credit Frank Sinatra at the end when they rolled the credits.
They credit him at the end when they rolled the credits. What is he talking about?
Look at Margaret.
Well, Lloyd...
Now, hold on. Lloyd... Trust me on this, okay? They gave Mr. Sinatra credit. You can't get away with playing a Frank Sinatra song on a TV show when Frank Sinatra certainly was alive, and he was alive in 1986, 85, and not give him full credit for that song. So I'm sure he was taken care of every which way but loose on that song.
All right, good. That's all I'm trying to determine, and no one wants to talk to me, and no one wants to give me the answers that I so deeply, fervently desire.
I was perfectly willing to do that.
So we did that song. What was the song? So Rare.
Yes, So Rare. So Rare. You're like the heaven on earth. You know. See, Phil, I think that the art of humming along is... Let's just try it here with this great song by Dennis Yost and the classic... This was a combo, right? The classic combo?
Yeah, see, again, there's everything about Burger King.
It ain't Burger King! You know something, son? I would push your face into hot oil for the things you've done on this program.
God, gee.
What a psycho!
Well, I'm getting sick and tired of you talking about everything being a burger.
When you say classic combo, the kid's gonna, Bud, just don't be dumb, okay?
But try not to be dumb, but this guy talk about a classic combo.
Classics 4 was the band. He had a combo. Forget about food.
I so want to take that kid's hand and just force it into hot grease. You're so in love with food.
God, you're out of your mind.
You bet. There you go. Right there. Bingo. Give the man a cigar. You better believe I'm out of my mind. I am crime psycho, my man. Psycho. I'm crazier than two coats of paint.
Whatever that means.
Now, this song, go ahead, Margaret, because I know this song. She's a spooky little...
Wait. No, hold on. There, go.
Well, this isn't spooky. This is...
In the cool of the evening when everything...
Turn it off. That's not the... I don't even want to hear it anymore. All right.
Wait a second.
All right. Look at Lloyd. If you guys can't get the right song, then I don't know what to say about it, all right?
Well, here it is. Here. There. This is... Lloyd, go ahead. Do it.
All right. Now, you hum... Turn it down. I can't... You hum along. In the cool of the evening, everything things getting kind of groovy. I call you up and ask you.
Now do it.
I call you up and ask you, do you want to go and see the movies?
First you say no.
First you say no. And then I've got a plan for the night. And then I unzip and say...
All right, that's it.
All right,
did you see that touch I gave it? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at Lloyd here. You don't do that.
I added a modern lyric, for God's sake.
First I unzip. You know, that's... So...
Did you hear what I did? I gave it a very... I gave it a rather ironic feel.
Yeah, it started laughing.
Oh, is that what I did? Yes, you did. What I'm doing... Did you hear it, Phil?
I heard you start laughing.
Well, what are you doing, Phil? Are you listening or are you not?
I'm talking to this nut here telling me about how... First he starts singing the song, and I know the lyrics of that song, okay? It's one of my favorite songs of all time, and the guy says, first I unzip.
I gave it a modern feel. I told you I was going to do that.
Would you just let him do what he's doing, for God's sake, and then just, Phil, be the audience. Don't be the critic. This is what's wrong with you. You're a control freak.
That is true, Mr. Henry.
Well,
you really are a control freak. You don't just let people do what they want to do. You think, oh, I got to control this. No, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. If anybody did that to you, my God, you'd be committed to an insane asylum or you'd be in prison for life for murder.
I got to agree with that, Mr. Renitz. Well, I apologize.
All right. Hit it. Hit it.
When do I?
I'll let you know when you... I'm running things now. Oh, go.
In the cool of the evening when the... And it's getting groovy. I don't appreciate that. I don't like that. Let's do that again.
Whoa.
All right, okay. We don't have time for this. Thank you very much.
Don't have time for what?
You guys are arguing.
Hold on. She's going, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Trust me.
Let's try it one more time. Take it from the top. A little less on the bass line. You're flatting on your B's.
You just do it.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, baby. Lloyd Bonafide and his combo.
In the cool of the evening and everything. It's getting groovy. I call you up and ask you if you want to go out to see the movies. First you say no, and then you take a good long look, and then I pull it out and say,
all right, okay, that's it. All right, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, that's all right,
it's okay. Margaret, thank you.
How did you like the
It was great, it's great. We'll be right back, 877-876-PHIL, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. First I pull it out, and then you... Nope, there's no such lyric.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, because they get Phil. Lloyd's on the phone.
Lloyd, how are you? Are you on your way home?
Yes, my daughter is driving me home. Gary's driving me home. And I want to thank you, Mr. Henry. I had a great time, but I remembered now the reason why I changed the lyric on you, because we did that in our nightclub act, the Lloyd Bonafide and the Combo.
It was Lloyd Bonafide and the Combo.
I know what the name of my own band was, Ms. Gray.
I understand, but you've changed it a few times.
I don't believe that I have.
Well, it's Lloyd Bonafide and the Combo.
Well, what sense does that make?
That's what you named it.
Well, all right, but I thought it was Lloyd Bonafide and, well, that's what I said, and the Combo.
Exactly.
Now, what I remembered as I got into the car and my daughter fired up the RV because we brought over the recreational vehicle. I didn't want to bring my truck because I just had the C-tree done, and I just purchased it. And I don't want my grandkids in it because they tend to wipe, you know, they'll wipe themselves on the seats and these kinds of things. And the RV is much better for that. We've had the family and the grandkids in it before. We're planning on taking it to Portland later.
Yes, sir.
And that's where my daughter lives with the man she married.
I understand, sir. You wanted to...
So I remembered the lyric, in the cool of the evening when... Margaret, you know the...
Yes, the song is spooky, and the lyric is... The lyric that you wanted to do explains to Phil how it was very contemporary for the time.
Well, you were rewriting the song.
Just this one area, because I felt it was contemporary for the nightclub, and I'll do it. It goes, because I had Ray Killjoy played bass in those days for us. Ray was a Navy buddy of mine.
Ray Killjoy.
Yes, sir. That's a great name for a musician, isn't it? But that was his name. And he played bass. I loved his bass.
Yeah, it was a great bass line, because the bass line goes do 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 like that.
Oh, no, it doesn't go No, it doesn't. If Ray played bass like that, I would not only fire him, I would beat him with his own... Jesus.
You'd beat him with his own what?
His own... Is he a veteran?
Yes.
You beat him with his own wooden leg?
You filthy...
All right, so...
I beat him with his own bass guitar is what I meant to say. So he didn't go do-do-do-woo. He didn't do that.
All right, we don't need to know what the bass line was. That's not why you called back.
Yes, sir. The reason why I called back is the lyric. In the cool of the evening. And remember, Mr. Henry, I was going back and forth. I was very mobile on the stages in those days. Of course, I was a younger man. But I'm going back and forth in the cool of the evening. And that's why I never used a microphone on the stage, on a stand, because I wanted to go back and forth, you know.
So you didn't want a fixed mic in a stand. Did you have a microphone on a cord?
In those days, you didn't have wireless mics, you know.
Yes.
So yeah, it was on a cord. It was on a. Otherwise, I would have looked like some kind of an ass standing there with an unplugged, with a microphone that wasn't plugged in. What the hell's the matter with you,
Lloyd? There's nothing wrong with me. I'm trying to help Phil help you move this segment along.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
All right. So it goes like this. Do 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 do. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Lloyd Bonafide. And the Combo, do, 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 in the cool of the evening when I think I notice something going up my pant. I'm sorry, I didn't, get me some water, Candy. My mouth dried out.
Okay, so I can tell right now you're changing the first lyric.
Yes, but this sets up the expectation. It's also a lovely, sexy song. It's very sexy.
Yes, it's a sexy interpretation. It goes, do, 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 do. In the cool of the evening when I think I notice something up my pant leg. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
What is that?
What did you say?
What's that?
What is that?
What's what?
What do you mean something up my pant leg?
What he's singing... Will you tell him, Lloyd?
What I'm singing about is the young man and the young lady are together sitting on a bench, or they're sitting on a swing. They're probably on the front porch swing, and their mother is... And her mother has brought out a tray of tea or what have you, sassafras, you know.
Okay.
Well, you say okay, like that sounds lame.
I don't know, sir. Cokes, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Cokes, root beer, that kind of, in my day it was sassafras.
Okay.
And now you're sitting, and now, as if it was a musical, the young man starts to sing.
Yes, Phil, and so it do-do-do-do-do, ha-ha-ha, and then... In the, may I sing it, Lloyd?
Go ahead.
In the cool of the evening, when I notice something going up my pant leg, that's the boy singing.
Yeah, that's the male singing.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Well, why are you wise-assing this, Mr. Henry?
I'm not wise-assing anything. So they're sitting and they're having sassafras and tea or whatever with her mother standing right there. What's going up his pant leg?
Her hand, for God's sake. But I don't come out and say it.
So while they're having tea and while they're having sassafras and while they're staring at the dogwood.
Yes. Young passions, Peyton Place. Do you get it?
Well, it sounds pretty rank.
Well, Phil, we don't come out and say her hand's going up my pant leg to grab my you-know-what.
Yeah, you can't make it work that way.
Oh, well, of course.
You know, I can tell a smart ass from a mile. But, you know, Mr. Henry, when I walk into the room, I know who the wise ass is, and you're it. And all I was trying to do...
Yeah, sir, I heard it.
I was trying to show you what we did.
I heard it, I understand, but I'm questioning, you know...
Well, don't question... How old were you back then?
I was a teenager.
All right, then what do you know? I was already in middle age, playing a very sophisticated adults with cocktails. You were off... breathing energine and huffing spot remover.
Oh, God, don't let him hear you laugh.
Margaret, you know, I try. God knows I try.
Sometimes I don't think you try hard enough.
Yeah, you got a control issue. Oh, my ass, I got a control issue, man. The guy's singing about in the cool of the evening. Okay, so I'm not supposed to say anything.
Just let him sing his song. When you start questioning things, Phil, and judging, judge, all you do is judge.
Sorry, I don't mean to judge.
That's all you ever do is judge.
All right. What should I judge when he says I was off huffing spot remover?
Just accept the truth in that statement, and if there isn't any, pretend like it's true anyway.
Oh, great. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
I was playing to sophisticated audiences, and you were off,
Henry.
You know, tying a towel around your neck.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Oh, look at that, man, on Phil TV and HD. If you're watching your Phil TV and HD tonight, you see a backdrop of the city of Miami, and that is created for us by Amanda Green, Miami artist and musician. And surrounding that, we have the Queensland Police on our scanner tonight, because the story that we have for you is from Australia. But anyway, that's...
Look, is that Australia there?
No, that's Miami. And around it are Christmas presents of varying sizes. It's a very nice piece. Very nice. Very tasteful. Anyway, welcome back to our show, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Margaret, and thank you, Lloyd, for your, for your interpretation.
Well, if you didn't like it, Phil, you can...
No, I liked it. It was fine. I the only part of it I didn't quite get was the whole, when I feel a hand going up my leg.
Well, you'll notice... I belched. I'm sorry.
Yeah, see? See?
Well...
Margaret, do you have to point it out?
Yes, I've got... If I go, well... And you can hear me gag it up. You can hear me forcing something down in the back of my throat. I've got to cop to it then, don't I?
I didn't hear anything.
Well, I sort of heard, was it like throw up?
Yes.
All right, now it's getting too graphic. Just, for now, forget about it. So...
What is that?
It's the Queensland Police. I've got it on the scanner. Now, what was the thing that you were going to say?
He doesn't say, I feel a hand going up my leg. He says, in the cool of the evening... When everything's...
Romeo
What is that?
That's the Brisbane Police. I love the Brisbane Police. They're my. That's these are my main. This is my. I love them, man. They're my main, they're my posse.
Your posse?
Yeah. See, I got this little scanner, and I'm listening to, the Queensland Police. They're very popular on the scanner, and stuff like that.
Why are you listening to them?
Because we're about to launch into a story about Australia. But anyway, to conclude...
Yes, to conclude, he says, in the cool of the evening when everything's feeling... I call you up and ask you if you'd like to go see a movie. First you say no. I forget how it goes.
Well, there's something about a hand going up a leg is what you said.
Yes.
All right. Well, he doesn't sing that. You're right. But he says something crawling up his leg. And I just thought that it was very bizarre, a very bizarre thing to include in a song that has traditionally been one of the, you know, a very sexy and rhythmic number.
Well, I don't think it makes it less sexy when the young man says... I feel a hand going up the inside of my pant leg, right?
Yeah, it said I feel a hand going up the pant leg.
Yeah, that's sexy.
Oh, okay, Phil. What are you, Perry Como?
I hope not. Royal hoax. Radio DJs were taken off the air. Ad suspended amid prank backlash. Now, this story started yesterday. Was it yesterday or this morning? I forget which. No, it was today. The story broke today, as we like to say in the news biz. By tonight, they've been suspended, as probably most of us would have guessed. Here's what happened. Two Australian radio disc jockeys, or as they say down there, radio jockeys, Mel Gregg and Michael Christian, who made a hoax call to the hospital pretending to be the Queen and Prince Charles, hospital where the... Where the princess is as she is being evaluated or some such thing for her pregnancy. So they called this hospital, and they pretended to be the Queen and Prince Charles. They've been taken off the air as a mark of respect after the nurse who took the call apparently killed herself.
Oh, my God.
That's what they think, but they aren't sure.
Well, apparently. The station and the hosts, quote, have decided that they will not return to their radio show until further notice out of respect for what can only be described as a tragedy. Today FM and its owners, Southern Cross Austereo, said in a statement.
No, it's called Australia.
I know.
Not Austereo.
That's the name of the company.
Let me see. Austereo. Oh.
Are you sure?
I know what the country's called, bud. I know it's called Australia. The name of their company is Austereo, as in stereo. Get it?
Oh.
Yeah, what a dumbass, man.
You didn't know.
Yeah, I did.
Hold on. Jacinta Saldana, said to be of Indian origin, answered the phone when presenters from Sydney, that's what they call disc jockeys, presenters from Sydney's Today FM called pretending to be Queen Elizabeth II and William's father, Prince Charles, before passing it on to a colleague who divulged details of Kate's condition. According to the report, Greg and Christian apologized for their lighthearted prank, but have been bombarded with online abuse and have since disabled their Twitter accounts. Southern Cross Austereo has also suspended all advertising on Today FM following the death of this nurse. Earlier, supermarket giant Coles and Telstra pulled advertising from Today FM as the fallout from the royal prank call continues. These are two big advertisers, I guess, in Australia.
What are the name of the company?
Coles and Telstra.
That's for people, it's like Vaughn's.
Yes, it's the big supermarket thing. We understand Australians are clearly angry and upset by what appear to be tragic consequences of the Today FM UK hospital prank, Cole said on its Facebook page. This is the supermarket down there. With the CEO of the Australian radio station, while the CEO of the Australian radio station did term the incident at tragic, he said presenters could not have reasonably foreseen the events which unfolded. We are very confident that we haven't done anything illegal. We are satisfied that the procedures we have in place have been met. Our main concern at this point in time is that what has happened is deeply tragic, and we are incredibly saddened, and we are incredibly affected by that, he's quoted as saying in The Guardian. Prince William and Kate Middleton, there's a picture of them. Reuters, Jacinta, okay, sorry, let me start all over again. Jacinta, who was helping out on a reception at the time of the prank, answered the hoax call at 5:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning. An ambulance and police officers outside the block of flats in London where she lived said she was found dead 2 days after she was duped into transferring a hoax call to Kate Middleton's room at the hospital where she worked. After dying in the hospital, Greg asks if she could please speak to Kate, my granddaughter. Jacintha responds calmly and requests the caller in an easy, distinguishable Indian accent to hold on while she transfers the call. Greg then gets through to Kate's hospital room, where a second nurse answered the call. The early part of the conversation goes like this. Greg pretending to be the queen. Kate, my darling, are you there? Nurse, good morning, ma'am. This is the nurse speaking. How may I help you? Greg, hello. I'm just after my granddaughter, Kate. I wanted to see how her little tummy bug is going. The unsuspecting nurse says that Kate is asleep and goes on to give intimate details of Kate's medical condition, including the fact that she'd been dehydrated and was recovering. At one point, Christian, pretending to be Prince Charles II, comes on the line and asks when it might be a good time to come by the hospital. The nurse says that perhaps after 9 may be a good time. When the nurse reveals that Kate was having difficulty sleeping in a strange hospital bed, Christian jokes, yes, of course, it's hardly the palace, is it? Cackling and hooting, Craig and Christian then disconnected the call and gloated over their prank and their fake British accents. It may have just been a joke, but it was clearly a joke that went too far. Even before the tragedy involving Saldana became known, there had been an outpouring of outrage that the radio host had resorted to this sort of a prank, and that the channel continued to promote its prank call on air. The station called it the prank call the world is talking about, before playing clips of news programs reporting on the original call. So they were really proud of it. And then this lady, I guess, killed herself. Now, here's the thing about, as I was saying at the beginning, here in the United States, I don't know how many states, but I would imagine, I'll take a guess, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, that the majority of states here in this country have laws against putting people on the on a radio show without first getting their permission. You can't say, good morning, you're on the air on such and such. That's not good enough. You have to first say off the air, may I put you on a radio show or something to that effect? Or if you're recording the call, you have to say off the recording before the tape starts, I'd like to tape record you. Do I have your permission? Barring those two disclaimers, if you will, or those two questions, you may not record somebody or put anyone on the radio. Now, that's the law in a lot of states. That's the law here in the state of California. That's the law in the state of Florida. I imagine many, many other states. If you violate the law, if you violate that law, you're guilty of a felony. Now then, it obviously is not the case in Australia. And I said Australia completely.
You didn't mean to.
I didn't mean to. It's not the case in Australia. Because the radio station was very proud of the prank, the radio station was promoting it, and the radio station was quote unquote gloating over it. Well, all of that means is it, obviously they didn't do anything illegal according to Australian law, or maybe they didn't do anything illegal according to Australian law because it was an international call. I don't know. The problem with a bit like this, as opposed to what we've done in the past, we get people to call us. That's what people get confused about our show. They say, well, don't you do it, the jerky? But no, we have people call us. But anyway, that be neither here nor there.
Yeah, this isn't about you, Phil.
I understand.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Okay, I understand. I'm just saying, the problem with this bit is, you call up somebody, you don't tell them they're going to be on the radio, so they don't know they're really talking on for millions of people all over the world or whatever, and they're already sort of freaked out that they're talking to the queen and the king, so they want to make sure they do it right. Now they find out it wasn't the queen, it wasn't the king, and this girl is emotionally fragile, you know?
Well, I can understand that. I do. I can understand if you're in a position of responsibility and you think you're doing your job and you find out that you didn't do your job.
That's the problem, you know, that's the problem, because the girl probably felt she had somehow let everybody down, and my God, you know, she thought she had the king and queen, and she didn't, and she gave out these details, and she was on the radio, and she just, you know, in retrospect, and we all know this, it's not her fault, and she would not have been, I don't think she would have been chastised by her bosses.
Well, you don't know, what if they got mad at her?
What if they got mad? She died, 2 days later, you mean? She killed herself, allegedly, 2 days after the fact. Maybe they, I don't know. What do you think her bosses said? Now, that would be interesting to know. Did the people that were employing her, the hospital, did they say, you dumb woman, you know? I don't know. All right, we're going to come back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Maybe we'll play a little bit more of Brisbane. Suddenly, I don't want to do it anymore.
Why?
Because it's just depressing.
Oh, come on. We're having fun.
I ain't having any fun. I don't want, I'm going to move past this topic. It bums me out. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. I just let out the biggest yawn.
Why? You're very tired.
Well, I will tell you this, and I told the audience, I told my Phil TV audience, guys, we hang out with our subscribers on Phil TV about 45 minutes before the show starts. So if you get a backstage pass, if you have a subscription to our site, you can watch our live streaming video every night. And we started about 45 minutes ahead of the show, and I just share a lot during that 45 minutes. A lot of stuff about what's happening with our show behind the scenes and other projects. But I mentioned that since the diet officially came to an end at 210 pounds on Halloween, and I then indulged in the one thing that I've been missing, and it's funny the food that we miss if we're on an extended diet, and this started back in March. I was 289 pounds, folks. For those of you just joining us, and I lost. What is that? 70 pounds? Or no, the 80 pounds I lost in the period of time between March 19th and October. I went down to 210. So the one food that I was missing was candy, and I started to eat like candy like a crazy man. And this past week, I bought another bag of candy, and I went into a whole sugar withdrawal. Just, I got doped up on sugar.
What do you mean doped up?
Well, it's just sugar. If you overload on it, man, it will make you tired and all kinds of stuff. And that's just, I'm still getting over it. It's just amazing. So the good news is I am never going to allow myself to put on that kind of weight again. So I immediately, you know, I got back onto the diet. Now I'm finding out from Dan, because his wife is a sort of nutritionally educated, that, you know, starving myself is not a good idea. You're saying that I need to, instead of deprive myself of calories, I need to get out and exercise. So that's what I'm going to do this weekend. All right. I saw this thing today. It was really fascinating. I know that it was officially December the 7th. You know, it's now officially December the 8th. But I saw this thing about Pearl Harbor on the military channel yesterday. No, it was on the History Channel yesterday. And it was called The First 24 Hours. And it just, there was a lot of stuff in it that I didn't know. I had no idea. I had no idea.
Like what?
Well, just stuff that was happening from the time that Pearl Harbor was bombed until the morning of December 8th. The evening of December the 8th. Because remember, December the 8th was a Monday. And I don't know if it was the evening, but President Roosevelt gave his famous speech before Congress asking for a declaration of war on Japan. The show was called Pearl Harbor, The First 24 Hours. And what it does is it starts from the bombing and moves forward. And there was stuff in there that I had no idea. Amazing stuff. Historical, not necessarily about the actual bombing itself, but how the country reacted, decisions that were made, you know. For instance, there was a discussion between Roosevelt and Cordell Hull, the Secretary of State, as to how long the speech should be, the speech that he gives to the Congress asking for declaration of war. The speech was 6 minutes and 30 seconds. Roosevelt won. He wanted a short speech. He didn't want a long, big thing. Cordell Hull wanted a big, long speech justifying all kinds of stuff, giving people the history of this and the history of that and why we did this and why we're doing that. And Roosevelt rightfully said, we don't need to go, I'm not going to go into all of that bull crap behind the scenes, the Japanese to go, why I'm asking for a declaration of war, they bombed Pearl Harbor. I don't have to go into a big song and a dance. So it seems like the greatest speeches given in history sometimes are the shortest, like the Gettysburg Address is a short speech. But that's just the tip of the iceberg of this thing. There was all kinds of stuff. After Pearl Harbor was bombed, the president was at that time afflicted with polio. Now, understand that this is a guy. The day that Pearl Harbor was bombed and the day that Roosevelt was going to lead the United States into war, he was being carried to bed by his son, James, because he had polio. He was being picked up and carried by his Marine Corps son, James, who was a Marine Corps staff officer with a desk job in Washington, James Roosevelt. And President Roosevelt would be carried to bed and laid in bed by his own son. Here's the President of the United States that was about to lead America into war. And and that night, his son lays his father in bed, James Roosevelt, and he says to his father, you know, I've been bound to a desk here. I really have to ask you now for a combat assignment. You know, you're the commander-in-chief, and I'm a Marine, and we're at war, and I want to go into combat. I don't recall what happened, what the decision was, but it was one of many decisions that Roosevelt had to make in that first 24 hours. One of the things that happened when he was told that the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor, he was given he had a sinus problem, and he was given some kind of a nasal swab to open up his sinuses, and it had elements or small doses of cocaine in it. And the subsequent thinking is that Roosevelt needed not only the decongestant, he needed a little pick-me-up from the coke to get him through the day. This is a guy with polio. The first address made by the...
Who took the cocaine?
Yeah, James.
Not James, no. President Roosevelt.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff that you're saying here. President Roosevelt used cocaine.
No, he didn't.
That's what you said.
You said a James picked him up.
Yes.
After he used coke.
No, he picked him up and laid him in bed because he had polio.
And the cocaine would cure him of that. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't either.
Phil, you have a way of... There's a lot of disjointed information here.
I'm just giving you the elements of stuff that happened in the first 24 hours after Pearl Harbor was bombed. I'm not putting it in any coherent form. You're right. I'm sorry. It was part of the show that I watched.
So the first thing the President of the United States does after Pearl Harbor is bombed is pack his nose?
God. Yeah, that gives it...
I didn't say that. Anyway, you should watch it. The show's called Pearl Harbor, The First 24 Hours. And one thing that I didn't know, and this is interesting, Margaret, the first person to address the American people about the bombing of Pearl Harbor from an official standpoint, right? Not just a newscaster, but the first person to address the American people about the bombing from a quasi-official or government position was the First Lady, Eleanor Roosevelt. President Roosevelt wasn't going to give his congressional address until Monday, but on Sunday night she did a radio show, and she gave kind of a news review every Sunday night, Mrs. Roosevelt, and that night she gave a talk on what had just happened and what the country would be looking ahead toward. She was basically saying to the country, we're at war, we're going to be at war, and you know, what Roosevelt had to say to the Congress the next day was a little bit anticlimactic.
So she decided...
No, she did not. Never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, see, there's
a lot of stuff you're not clearing. It's not clear.
He declared war. She just simply commented on it.
Before he did it. Wow.
Yeah, you're...
Well, Phil Hendry Show. Sorry.
Phil Hendry.
Woo!
All right, so now just a little bit of the basics here in terms of news. The U.S. Supreme Court will consider gay marriage for the first time, accepting appeals on a California ballot measure banning the practice and a federal law defining marriage as solely an opposite-sex union. So essentially people are challenging the constitutionality of that, the constitutionality of California's law. And, you know, not that I want to do a speech or preach, Margaret, as you like to say. It's always fair to tell people that even if people vote on a law And everybody says, even 100% of us say, we want this law. If it's not constitutional, if it does not conform to the Constitution of the United States, then it is unconstitutional.
Yes, but people always say the same thing. Then what's the point of voting?
You can change the Constitution if you want to. The American people can change the Constitution. It isn't like we're helpless. You pass a law, and I always hear people say, we passed the law, then these judges are activist judges. You know, it's the dumbest stuff. The dumbest stuff you hear when it comes to the judiciary. It's the branch of government that people understand the least. It's the branch of government that people probably criticize the most. It's the branch of government that everybody feels qualified to weigh in on. Nobody knows a damn thing about it. Even the ignorance of people who say, on the one hand, activist judges, but if the judge rules on something that they support, then all of a sudden, aha, he read the Constitution properly. Never once does it ever occur to anyone that they're just playing this thing from a purely biased, ideologic point of view. And we've seen time and again judges that were appointed by conservatives who make a favorable ruling, I should say, on something that pleases liberals. And we've seen judges that were appointed by liberal presidents who make a favorable ruling on something supported by conservatives. And everyone says the same thing. They don't say what they should say, which is essentially the job is to review laws and interpret them to see if they are, in fact, you know, conforming to the Constitution. That's the job of the judiciary, the Supreme Court especially. No one ever says that. Everyone always says, oh, activist judge. Obama, one of the things that Obama did there was, during the State of the Union, pointing out, I believe, to one of the judges that they were wrong. Remember, you referred to the judges?
Well, I think that, were you talking about President Obama or Bush?
President Obama.
I don't understand. President Obama is a very popular president.
Yes, but he made a statement about the Supreme Court that not only displeased one of the judges, he shook his head as if to say, you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground, Mr. President. I don't know why those justices have to be there. I think that it looks uncomfortable. They're not allowed to applaud. They're not allowed to disapprove. They're not allowed. They got to sit there and stare at a president, and then he turns and he looks at them and he makes some comment. I think they ought to just get up and leave. I think that the Supreme Court.
I thought you supported President Obama.
I do, but I thought what he did was wrong. It was wrong, flat wrong. Looking at the judiciary and saying to the judiciary, you've interpreted this the wrong. My scholarly background as a judge would lead me to believe. I mean, I understand we all have our opinions, and yes, of course, we all are entitled to our opinions. God knows I have mine. I get that. But, I mean, directly addressing the Supreme Court as it sits there out of respect to listen to your State of the Union speech, and they'd probably rather be someplace anywhere but there, and they're not allowed to applaud, and they're not, you know, they
Is there a law that says they can't applaud?
No, but it looks ridiculous for judges who are impartial, who are there strictly in those robes to simply view impartially and objectively laws and to see if they are conforming to the Constitution or not. They're not going to stand there and start, you know, applauding and hooting and howling like everybody else. They're not. That's your activist judge. Anyway. The Supreme Court's going to look at this, and the cases which the court will decide by June loom as a potential turning point on one of the country's most divisive issues. The gay marriage movement is showing unprecedented momentum, winning victories at the polls in four states this year. A Quinnipiac University survey released December the 5th showed that 48% of voters, and I probably pronounced that wrong, but I don't care, show that 48% of voters support same-sex unions, up from 36% in 2008. The California dispute will address whether gay marriage is legal in the most populous U.S. state, home to more than 37 million people. The California dispute will address whether gay marriage is legal. No, it won't. The California dispute will address whether gay marriage is constitutional in the most populous U.S. state, home to more than 37 million people. The case also gives the justices a chance to go much farther and tackle the biggest issue, whether the Constitution guarantees same-sex marriage rights nationwide. Well, look, I don't know whether the judges will do that, but most likely they will, because you can't state whether gay marriage is constitutional or not. You can't state whether gay marriage, to use their words, is legal or not in a state, and not come right out and say it's constitutional.
Yeah, but if it's illegal.
It already is illegal. Gay marriage is illegal in the state of California, with the exception of the people that got married in that little window. It's the stupidest, one of the stupidest of all laws ever passed in the history of this state. The way it was done, everything. The voting, the way it was applied, it's the dumbest thing that this state, in a history of dumb things, has ever done. Well, it's unconstitutional, it can't be gay, but you people were married and you're gay and you can be married, but the other ones can't be.
The question is perhaps the most important remaining civil rights issue of our time, said Theodore Olson, a Washington lawyer leading the legal fight against the California measure. Theodore Olson was the husband of a lady that was killed on 9/11, one of the news contributors, I think, on CNN. In any event, he's a conservative, or is viewed as a conservative, and yet there he is leading the legal fight against the California ban on gay marriage, which is kind of it makes more sense. Conservatives are people, I thought, that need and want government out of people's lives as much as possible. And that would include, of course, whether or not you make a good husband, or whether or not you make a good father, or whether or not you make a good mother, the government will decide, because your sexual orientation or sexuality is something that the government approve of. In addition to the California case, the justices yesterday said they'll review the U.S. Defense of Marriage Act, a 1996 law the two federal appeals courts said impermissibly treats legally married gay couples differently than heterosexual couples. Defense of Marriage Act, as the measure is known, blocks gays from claiming the same federal tax breaks and other marriage benefits that opposite-sex spouses receive. You can see what happens here. It gets dumber and dumber. It gets more ridiculous the more people try to apply this defense of marriage thing and make sure that, oh, marriage is only for straight. But, you know, it's asinine. The whole argument against gay people being married is purely based on prejudice and nothing else. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with anything. It's based on religious prejudice in most cases, because these people are making some stupid argument about how marriage is only supposed to be about men and women, as if they've got some kind of proof of that. You may religiously be able to trace that.
Watch it. You know you're going to get a lot of people emailing you and calling you all kinds of names.
Yeah, they're going to call you gay.
Yeah, they'll call you gay lover.
Yeah, they'll call you gay lover.
Oh, well, that's terrible. I'm a gay lover. All I'm telling you is, the more they argue about this, the dumber it all sounds.
I totally agree, but you're going to be called a gay lover. So I'm called a gay lover.
That's the same thing what they used to call, like, N-word lover.
Well, not quite, because it's not quite as, I don't think it's quite as hatefully charged a word, although...
Well, they may call you an F-lover.
Yeah, instead of an N-lover.
Then they could call you an N-lover.
How are they going to call me an N-lover, man?
Don't you support legal rights for the N's? An N-lover.
Will you get out of here with N-lover, okay, man? That's like the 50s.
What about F-lover?
What is it with you guys with the F-lover?
That's what they could call you based upon N-lover.
They ain't calling me an F-lover. Look, there's a lot of people, there's more people on my side about this issue than a lot of people would be on my side back in 1959 when it came to civil rights. I mean, this is a more enlightened country, thank God. By January 1st, same-sex couples will have the right to marry in 9 states and the District of Columbia, and President Barack Obama has said he backs that right. California voters approved Proposition 8 that banned gay marriages in 2008. The ballot initiative reversed a decision by the California Supreme Court, which 5 months earlier had said the state constitution guaranteed the right to gay marriage. So this is the most bizarre thing. It was the California Supreme Court saying that the constitution allowed this equal protection under the law. Then the people of the state passed a ballot initiative that I believe was an amendment to the Constitution of the state that said, no, we are now depriving gay people of the right. So
that's what caused this asinine situation of people getting married that were gay and then all of a sudden being told, no, you can't, because the people of the state of California, in all of their wisdom, decided that the amendment, that they want to amend the Constitution, you group, you can't get married. It's about the, it's the, and of course, when it was argued in front of the Supreme Court by Olson and his partner, they said that gay people have the right, and they argued this in front of the California Supreme Court. The California Supreme Court said something that was absolutely dead on right. They said, what are you bothering us with this for? And they're right. We can't do anything about it. We're the Supreme Court. Our job is to say, all right, is this law in keeping with the Constitution of the state of California? Yes, it is. The people voted for it. That's what they do in this messed up state. They vote for amendments, okay? And you can just pass any amendment you want, no matter how stupid. And so you're coming here and you're asking us to reverse Prop 8. We can't do that. It was passed by the people of the state. We made the decision that we made at the time because there wasn't a Prop 8. Now there is a Prop 8. If you don't like what's going on here in the state of California in terms of the people passing these amendments that deprive people of their rights while other people have rights, go to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, because we can't do anything about it. This is the state of California's process. And they were absolutely right. And the lawyers even knew it. The lawyers simply went before the California Supreme Court because that was the first step.
But they knew it. Why are they doing waste their time?
Because that was the first step. You have to go to the state first.
You got to go to the state first. Make sure you do your due diligence. Your honors, we think this sucks. Yeah, well, that's, we do too. Maybe we don't. It's none of your business. But we just did what we did because here's the law. Here's the state constitution. This is what we're supposed to do. Well, your honor, you said that the gay marriage was in keeping with the California Constitution. It was until this amendment was passed saying that now it isn't. We're not going to sit here and say, well, it's still constitutional, because obviously it isn't any longer. The people of the state of California made sure of that by passing this jackass Proposition 8. Anyway, at the appeals level, they instead won a narrower ruling with limited applicability beyond California's borders. The San Francisco-based Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said Prop 8 violated the constitutional guarantee of equal protection by stripping same-sex couples of the right they once had. But that's a U.S. Circuit Court. That's not the California Supreme Court.
What's the difference?
The difference is that's a federal court making that ruling. The federal court is saying, no, it's unconstitutional. It's not the California Supreme Court, which is talking about the California Constitution.
I don't know. The whole thing's jacked up.
No, it's not jacked up. It's actually very easy to understand if you want to take the time to understand the form of government that we have and not just be another dumbass that gets out of bed, stares out the window, and wonders where he's going to get his next cigarette. And, you know. All right, we'll be right back with more here. We're late. The world famous, we're late. Phil Hendry Show, we're
late.
Truth
is
our bitch.
Going
down the hole. I'm late.
The Phil Hendry Show.
We're late.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show here. We've got a few more minutes left in the show. You know, the whole issue of gay rights is one of those issues that I personally feel really strongly about. I don't know what it is. It's just the way I it's the way I am, I guess. It doesn't make me some kind of a special guy. I just, when it comes to people and their ability to live in a great country, one that I love with all of my heart, And you see people being treated differently. It's so American. It really pisses me. When I say American, I don't mean that in a good sense. I mean it in the worst possible sense. The kind of prejudice that I've seen throughout my life, you know, and that I've heard spoken of, and that I've heard in my own home. When I was growing up, I would listen to certain adults in my family talking that dumbass stuff. And even at an early age, it sounded stupid. And I use that word because
I believe it. I heard someone say it once, and I said, by God, that's right. It is the stupidest philosophy in the world is the philosophy of a bigot, whether he's a racist or a homophobic or anti-woman or anti-Semitic or anybody that is opposed to someone strictly based on their ignorant view of race and culture. Like there's one so-called better than the other. I was trying to talk about that the other night when I said, you know, it's true. It's very true that the culture, the civilization of Europe materially was far, far exceeded what other parts of the world were able to achieve, given the resources that were available, given the consequent population explosion, given the consequent buildup in bureaucracy and government and military, given the consequent development of invention that follows necessity and so forth. Yeah, Europe, in terms of its material wealth, was very much a developed part of the world. It's got nothing to do with the intelligence, the relative intelligence of the people involved. It has absolutely nothing to do with it whatsoever. None. Zero. You know. And I'm not going to sit here and explain it. You have to learn it, but what I'm telling you is true. It has to do with geography, and it also has to do with something else. Looking at other cultures and seeing where they have far outstripped us in terms of their development. While, for instance, Asia never got near Europe in terms of invention and material wealth and the development of resource, Asia as a birthplace for thought, for philosophy, for religion, for the study of the human condition and the evolution of culture, that place far surpasses what the West was able to achieve. But what I was saying to Dan here during the break, and he said to me, why don't you talk about it? I'm done trying to, you know, change people's minds. I mean, if you're going to change anybody's mind, the last place you're going to do it is on a talk show. This is the very idea that you can convince or talk people into some kind of an idea or you know, change people's minds on a freaking radio talk show it's offensive to me, to be honest with you. You can't. You can't, and I wouldn't try. You know, people are going to change their minds because of their experience in life. They're not going to change their minds because some dumbass on the radio is talking to them. They're going to change their minds based upon things they've experienced, things they've seen, and things that they have felt, you know. So I've given up.
What? You're not even going to try and make anybody see good stuff?
What about the betterment of man?
What about the betterment of man?
But you try to say you're not going to, like Bud was saying, try to make the good stuff, you talk good stuff?
Yeah.
Talk good stuff? No, I ain't going to talk. I'm talking what I'm talking.
But you're saying you're giving up on the idea of exhorting people on to good action.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, what sense does that make?
Makes a lot of sense. I can tell people what I believe and what I would do. I'm not going to lecture somebody. Hey, everybody, let's get together and go and do that. Are you kidding me? I've seen that. I have seen so much of that done by people in this position, the radio talk show host position, who are insincere, who do it just to self-aggrandize, who do it just to, you know, attract a few more ad dollars. They could care less whether anything is really changed. They barely believe what it is they're saying. That's the other thing about this. People on the radio, man, you think they really believe half the crap they say?
Well, what about you? Do you believe the stuff you say?
Of course I do. I can prove that I believe in it. Because, you know, I'm on in the middle of the night, man. What do I got to lose? I'm going to sit here and lie about stuff?
Well, what about my existence? Are you telling the truth? Are you saying that I exist?
You exist to me, I'll tell you that.
That's not answering the... What about me? Do I exist?
To me, you do.
Do I exist to those people out there listening?
I imagine you do, yes.
Wait a minute. I got it.
Yeah, you're playing it fast and loose.
Fast and loose?
Hold on, I got it. Are you saying that I am a real person?
To me, yes.
No.
That's too many no's.
No. Okay, wait.
No. That's eight.
No.
You shut up. Yes, you exist. To me, you exist. And probably to a lot of people listening. We'll see you Monday. Until then, have a great weekend and let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.